Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. Your favorite hour of the day is now underway. You are now locked into WKAR's current sports, coming to you live here on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. You may be tuned in courtesy of Facebook.com/WKAR News. We've got the live stream up and running there. Or you may be listening courtesy of WKAR.org, listening live there, or you may be checking out the podcast version. No matter how you're tuned in, we appreciate it. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your Tuesday afternoon. It is December 18th, 2018. Christmas right around the corner. Hope many of you, again, as I've been saying since last week, I hope you're getting that Christmas shopping done and getting it over with, right? This is the most wonderful time of the year, but it's also the time of the year where we all go broke, right? I'll actually be doing a little Christmas shopping later on this afternoon. Yes, I'm not practicing what I preach so far, because even though I've been getting on you guys about not waiting to the last minute, I have still waited until the last minute when it comes to a few items, all right? But nonetheless, happy holidays to you and yours. We've got a great hour of current sports coming your way. As promised on the Monday version of current sports, I want to take a wide look at the NFL playoff picture, and I'll give you my thoughts on which teams are pegged to make a deep run in this year's NFL playoffs. And I'm also going to address how many of you are blown away at what's happening with the New England Patriots and Tom Brady. You know, the Patriots, they have been in the mix for Super Bowl rings for quite some time. And we all know about the storied legacy that Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, they have built throughout their respective careers together. And, you know, when looking at what's taking place these last 2 weeks, I mean, the Patriots lose in the Miami Miracle to the Dolphins, 34-33, the final one, December 9th, and then we saw this past weekend the Patriots lose in thrilling fashion yet again, even though, you know, Tom Brady did have an opportunity to lead that offense to at least tie the game, but that didn't happen against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Steelers were able to beat the Patriots, and, you know, now the Pats have lost two straight, and many people are saying, yeah, we're starting to see the downfall of this dynasty. Well, I'm going to tell you why I am not on that side of the fence when having that conversation. All right, I'll break down that, and you know, I'll reference a few teams out there who I really think can make a splash in the NFL playoffs, but why I'm not sold on a lot of them. All right, there's so much parity in the league, it's crazy. All right, so we'll talk NFL, and as promised, we will also be welcoming to the show for the first time Trevor Darnell, who is an MSU grad and is now a ticket writer at South Point Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. And I want to have Trevor on because we're having these elongated conversations about legalized sports gambling here in America. You know, the Supreme Court basically ruling that, you know, it's not a crime, and states can pass legislation that could regulate sports betting within their state. And it's a game changer. It truly is. And, you know, we've been having conversations here on Current Sports, and I've seen many people out there having a conversation on, you know, Michigan getting into the sports gambling game and what it could mean for sporting culture today. And do many people agree with it? What do you think? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, you can weigh in at facebook.com/WKAR News as well, or you can even tweet us, tweet the show at WKAR_sports, or you can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. I want to get your thoughts on sports betting being legalized here in America. And Trevor, ahead of the game, I guess he saw this one coming, deciding to get in the sports betting forum very early in his career, right after he graduated Michigan State, getting that job with South Point Hotel and Casino. So I'm excited to really pick Trevor's brain and really dive into where he thinks this thing is headed, especially here in Michigan. And then on the back end of the show, I will address my Detroit Pistons, who are not playing great basketball right now. They fell last night in a close one at home at Little Caesars Arena, and they are now losers of 7 of the last 8 games. So we'll close out the show with a brief discussion on the Pistons. But you know what's next? You know how we start this party here on Current Sports? Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. And we start with Michigan State baseball in the Dominican Republic. We brought that to you yesterday. And day 3 took place on Monday. And the day started with a split squad series, with half the team taking on the Dominican Republic Navy team at the DR Naval Academy Field near Santo Domingo, while the other half was in a different area of Santo Domingo playing at UPUP Field. Now, MSU's half that played the Navy had a daunting task ahead of it, as the DR Navy team hadn't ever lost to a college team from the United States as part of the Dominican baseball camp and had only one tie. So the DR Navy team never losing to a college program. So the DR Navy team didn't give up that unbeaten record to the U.S. college team easy against Michigan State, as that team threatened in the bottom of the ninth with a leadoff single followed by a stolen base and then a single to right. But senior right fielder Dan Chemitsky, he threw out the runner trying to score the tying run for the first out of the frame. And after a flyout for the second out of the inning, a walk put 2 on. And the runner on first moved to second. Then junior pitcher Caleb Sleeman, he then battled the next hitter and induced a ground out to senior shortstop Marty Bettina, who threw out, at first with a bang-bang play to end the game, and that snapped the DR Navy's unbeaten mark against an American college program. So pretty impressive stuff there. Now, after the game, and this is what I really, you know, love about these experiences for college athletes who get to participate in a camp or a practice overseas just to get out of the United States. After the game, Michigan State baseball returned to the hotel for lunch, dining on Dominican Republic cuisine, then departed in the afternoon for a tour of Colonial Santo Domingo, known as Ciudad Colonial. Now, the team got a tour of Fort Asma, one of the first settlements and the oldest fort of the Americas, later home to Diego Columbus, son of Christopher Columbus. It was declared a World Heritage Site. Now, the team continued its tour of Ciudad Colonial, seeing Alcázar de Colón and Cathedral di Santa Maria Lemonore. So that's very cool stuff. I mean, the educational experience that these collegiate athletes get when you travel overseas to participate in athletics for a week or a few days, that's invaluable stuff, and they'll remember that for the rest of their lives. Very cool stuff there. All right, get this, folks. The Stanley Cup, long recognized as the most famous trophy in all of professional sports, will be on display at Munn Ice Arena on Friday, January 4th, when the Michigan State hockey team will play Ohio State. Now, the cup will be in various locations throughout Munn during the game, and fans get the chance to take their photo with the trophy on the area concourse. Now, in total, 11 Spartans have hoisted Lord Stanley, including head coach Danton Cole with the New Jersey Devils back in 1995. Duncan Keith was the last Spartan to win the cup, as he claimed his third with the Chicago Blackhawks back in 2015. So, again, the Stanley Cup coming to East Lansing on January 4th. All right, defensive tackle Aubrey Solomon is transferring from the Michigan football team. Now, the 6'3", 297-pounder from Georgia, a former five-star recruit, he leaves after two seasons in Ann Arbor, including an injury-shortened campaign back in 2018 this year. The news was first reported by Stadium Network's Brett McMurphy. Now, under new NCAA transfer rules, student-athletes do not need to seek permission from schools to seek a transfer. I really dig this new rule. Now, the new system, which became official this year, allows students to inform universities of their decision to leave. Now, once the student has given notice, the university has two business days to place his or her name into the National Transfer Database. And once the student athlete's name has been placed in that database, other coaches are free to recruit that player. And that said, school cannot block a transfer to any school. So I like this new rule a lot. And again, that comes in light of the news that Aubrey Solomon will be transferring from the University of Michigan football program. Also, another big transfer of note, Georgia quarterback Justin Fields will transfer from that program, according to USA Today Sports. The freshman joined the Bulldogs as the number two recruit in the class of 2018. That's coming per 247 Sports. Fields served as the Bulldogs' backup in 2018 behind sophomore Jake Fromm. Fields completed 27 of 39 attempts as a passer, adding 266 rushing yards and four touchdowns. A Kennesaw, Georgia native, Fields is expected to appeal for 2019 eligibility. All right, my Detroit Pistons, Giannis Antetokounmpo, had 32 points, 12 rebounds, and the Milwaukee Bucks held on for a 107-104 victory over the Detroit Pistons last night when Blake Griffin missed a last-second three-pointer. Actually got a really good look after a shot fake on that as well. Griffin actually missed two threes in the final 14 seconds. The Detroit star already had a triple-double after three quarters, but it was a quiet four for him. Griffin, he finished with 19 points, 11 assists, 10 boards. He also, though, had 10 turnovers. The Pistons have now lost seven of their last eight and will hit the road to now take on the Minnesota Timberwolves tomorrow night. Also, the Detroit Red Wings are in action on the road tonight against the Philadelphia Flyers at Wells Fargo Center in Pennsylvania. Puck drop scheduled for 7 p.m. Right now, the Flyers sit at 12-15-2, the Wings at 14-15-5. In the Flyers' last game, they ended up falling 5-1 in Vancouver on Saturday. And the Wings, in their last game, they ended up losing 4-3 to New York. So both teams trying to get out of the doghouse right now. And when it comes to odds right now, the Flyers are favored in this game at 1.5. Also, Monday Night Football, a lone fourth quarter touchdown was enough for the New Orleans Saints to pull off a 12-9 victory against the Carolina Panthers on Monday night. It's actually the lowest scoring victory for the Saints since like the mid-90s. 12-9 the final. Quarterback Drew Brees completed 23 of 35 passes for 203 yards with an interception for the NFC South champion New Orleans Saints, sitting at 12-2. Overcoming glitches on offense throughout the game, New Orleans can clinch home field advantage through the NFC playoffs by winning one of their final two games. Also, Carolina at 6-8. Carolina has now lost six straight games, but the Panthers still have slim playoff hopes. Pretty amazing, right? Six straight and you're still in the playoff picture. And also, last but not least, in who is really the, I think she'll go down as the greatest female boxer of all time, from right here in this great state of Michigan in Flint, Clarissa Shields of Flint has been named the Female Fighter of the Year by the Boxing Writers Association of America. Shields, her professional career sitting at 8-0, two knockouts, won all four of her 2018 fights by unanimous decisions, and she finished the year holding five world championships. Now, to join welterweight Cecilia Brakus as the only other undisputed world champ in women's boxing, Clarissa Shields, the two-time Olympic gold medalist, will have to beat Christina Hammer in a middleweight unification bout that's looked to be scheduled around March of next year. And if you remember, Shields and Hammer were supposed to go at it for Shields' last fight, but that didn't happen because Christina Hammer had an undisclosed injury. So if Shields does beat Hammer come March, she will make history. Pretty impressive stuff. And congratulations to Clarissa Shields, again, being named Female Fighter of the Year by the Boxing Writers Association of America. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep this train moving.
Takes the snap from the pocket with all kinds of time, goes to the end zone, and it's over the head of everyone. Third and 15, 26 seconds. Give him time, and again goes in the direction of Gronkowski. It's fourth down. Steelers drop back right around the first down yardage at the six. Here's Brady down the middle, and it's knocked down. Incomplete. Intended for Edelman.
To come back to you. I think he wanted Edelman to stop and come right back.
All right, a little Janet Jackson for you on this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Happy holidays to you all, and thank you for allowing us to be a part of your week. Multiple ways in which you can weigh in. Pick up the phone, and you can talk to me live here on the air. 517-355-WKAR. Again, that's 517-355-9527. And many of you already commenting on social media at facebook.com/WKARnews. A few comments are rolling in. One of them includes our intern, Alec Rio, one of our fantastic production assistants. Alec, you're on break. Even on break, you got to troll my Cowboys, right? Alec comments and says, how about them Cowboys, Al?
How about them Cowboys?
Mm. Yeah. And you know what? Behind the glass, we have Drew Henderson filling in this week. Nice bit there, Drew. But it's certainly an insult to me because today, I'm not feeling good about my Cowboys. I wasn't feeling good about them on Monday either. And especially right after that loss in which they put up a donut against the Indianapolis Colts. So Alex is trying to poke fun at my Cowboys. Also, Ben comments, I mean, you guys just love going at me in Dallas and
you can
and my
humble
Cowboys.
Yourself.
Yeah, we need to humble ourselves. I'm not even going to lie with that because I think when we went on that win streak, I think what happened was we got a little bit complacent. And to throw up 0 points against the Colts, embarrassing. But Ben comments and says, how about them Cowboys laying an egg against the Colts, Al? Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, okay. I get it. But, hey, we're still better than the Detroit Lions. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Small jab there. All right, but what I want to do, as promised on yesterday's show, I do want to take a look at the NFL playoff picture right now because it's intriguing on a lot of different levels. What you just heard was the call courtesy of CBS, Jim Nantz rocking the play-by-play mic, of course, with Tony Romo, former Dallas Cowboys quarterback, Tony Romo, who's a pretty good analyst alongside Nantz. Both of them on the call of that New England Patriots loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I first, before taking this broad picture look at what the playoff picture looks like right now, I do want to address the New England Patriots because they have lost two straight. They certainly shouldn't have lost that game 2 weeks ago at the hands of the Miami Dolphins, pulling off one of the most improbable plays to end a football game that you'll ever see in your life. They are dubbing it the Miami Miracle. That was just at sports. You know, that happens sometimes. Last second, no hope left, and then all of a sudden, the Dolphins pull off, I think it was like two laterals, take it to the house, and the Patriots end up losing. That should have been a win for the Patriots. But, you know, looking at the Steelers, I mean, this is a Steelers team that is very competitive. They are among the top-tier teams in the league, despite how you may feel about this team's inconsistency at times. And I think they've produced very, very well under the media light that has been the Le'Veon Bell drama. Le'Veon Bell deciding to sit out. Le'Veon Bell, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, deciding to sit out this season because the Steelers didn't pay him the money that he wanted. All right, he wanted a long-term deal with X amount of dollars, and that didn't happen. So with all of that, was one of the biggest stories in the NFL offseason coming into this year. Media left and right asking about Le'Veon Bell and is he going to return? Is he not going to come? Is he going to be franchise tag? Will he come before the deadline? That drama that the Steelers have had to undergo, they've dealt with it very well and have found a way to win. And, oh, by the way, I mean, the Steelers aren't really missing Le'Veon Bell too much because I believe John Connor has come in and done one heck of a job in the backfield. So the Patriots now losing two straight, and you're looking at how things are shaking out for them. Of course, they're going to make the playoffs. Right now, the New England Patriots are still leading the charge in the AFC East. But, you know, I'm hearing a lot of this chatter, okay, the New England Patriots dynasty is done. If there is any year where the Patriots weren't at least going to get to the AFC Championship game, it is this year. Tom Brady looks old. The weapons he has around him also seem to be a bit seasoned. Gronk can't stay healthy. Sure, Josh Gordon is with the team, but if you double-team him, where else can Tom Brady go? That defense, you know, you can put up points against that defense. The secondary has been up and down. I'm hearing all this chatter like that about the New England Patriots, but you know, I say that, And this is kind of fitting because in just a moment, in about 5 minutes, we will welcome to the show Trevor Darnell, who's a ticket writer at South Point Hotel and Casino. He is right there in the thick of things, and he sees sports gambling and odds shifting firsthand on a daily basis. You know, I hear all this chatter, and Vegas still have the Patriots as the second most likely team to win the Super Bowl. If you look at the odds right now, the New England Patriots, with all of that criticism right now, with them losing two straight, falling to the Dolphins the way they did, and now losing to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Las Vegas, and Las Vegas is right more times than they are wrong. A lot more times than they are wrong. Vegas still has the Patriots as the second most likely team to go, and not just go, but win the Super Bowl, right behind the Kansas City Chiefs. And to address the Kansas City Chiefs, I know many people are high on the Kansas City Chiefs. Don't get me wrong. I mean, this Chiefs team is so fun to watch. Patrick Mahomes may be he may be the most entertaining quarterback since, like, what, Mike Vick? I mean, what he can do with the football. I mean, you know, I bring up the no-look pass that he had. He is a walking, talking highlight reel every single NFL Sunday. It's amazing. The Chiefs have locked up and clinched their respective division at 11-3. But, you know, when it comes to the Patriots, the fact that they are still the second likeliest team to win the Super Bowl, it says a lot about how many people out there still view the Patriots and still won't doubt the Patriots until you realistically don't see them in that AFC Championship game going possibly to yet another Super Bowl. Your trust is still a bit janky when it comes to other teams in the AFC playoff picture. I mean, because just look at the playoff picture right now. I mean, you have the Houston Texans. I mean, we have been waiting for a long time for the Houston Texans to finally make a deep run and become a true Super Bowl contender. How much do you trust the Houston Texans at 10-4? They're a crapshoot to me. I'm not big on them. Playing solid football this year, but the Houston Texans are still the Houston Texans. The Pittsburgh Steelers, who, again, did beat New England this past weekend. The Steelers now sitting at 8-5-1. I'm still not sold on the Pittsburgh Steelers because they've had an up-and-down year and are questionable at times. The wild card pitcher, you got the L.A. Chargers at 11-3, and you have the Baltimore Ravens at 8-6. That's what the wild card pitcher looks like right now, but it's still so jumbled up. I mean, the NFL playoffs, you mean talk about parity? My goodness. The Indianapolis Colts, who, yeah, did beat my Dallas Cowboys, they are still in the hunt for a possible wild card spot at 8-6. Same record as the Baltimore Ravens. How about the Tennessee Titans, huh? And shout out to the Titans. I saw them do the remember. I was wondering when they were going to do this one day, but they actually did the Remember the Titans dance from the movie, the famous movie when Denzel Washington played the head coach. They actually finally did the Remember the Titans dance on the field this past weekend. That was pretty impressive. But the Titans are still in the hunt right now at 8-6 as well. So that's really jumbled up. You got the Titans, Colts, and the Ravens, all three with the same record. Then you have the Miami Dolphins still in the hunt at 7-7. And the Cleveland Browns of all teams. How about that turnaround, right? The Cleveland Browns sitting at 6-7-1. Out of all those teams, I only trust still just one. And I think Vegas is also sending that same message in keeping the Patriots as the second likeliest team to go to the Super Bowl at 9-5. It's amazing to me. I only trust the Patriots here. You know, the Chiefs, this is the thing about the Chiefs, because the Chiefs do sit at 11-3. And many people have been looking at the Chiefs out in the AFC and saying, yep, that's the team that's going to go all the way this season. But the thing is, I look at the Chiefs' defense and say, I don't know. Sure, that offense is the most high-powered offense in the game right now. Patrick Mahomes and the weapons he has around him, it is incredibly impressive. Incredibly impressive. But you look at the Kansas City Chiefs' defense and where they are ranked, it's near the bottom barrel of the league. 31st, to be exact. 31st. Did you know there has never been a Super Bowl champion that has been ranked with a defense that is ranked 25th or worse and won the entire enchilada? There has never been a Super Bowl winner with a defense ranked 25th or worse, and the Kansas City Chiefs ranked number 31. Yeah. If you want to bet your bottom dollar on them, approach with caution. So I still am pumping the brakes here. Sure, do the Patriots look flawed here and there? And I do think Tom Brady is showing a bit of his age. Those last three throws against the Steelers were incredibly inaccurate. He wasn't mind-blowing against the Miami Dolphins. Tom Brady has shown his age, but he's still playing better than most of the top-tier quarterbacks in the league today. Your thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Many of you commenting right now at facebook.com/WKAR News. And, of course, you can join the conversation on Twitter. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me directly at AlMartinWKAR. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will be chatting live from Las Vegas with Trevor Darnell, ticket writer at South Point Hotel and Casino. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. The silky smooth tunes of Boys to Men. Let It Snow. Happy holidays to you and yours. I really wish I had a voice like Boys to Men. I certainly won't be or wouldn't be hosting a sports talk show. Man, that's one of my favorite joints right there. Shout out to Boys to Men. Classic there. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I just got done telling you why I am still high on the New England Patriots. Despite what has happened these past 2 weeks, I just don't trust the other teams out there. Sure, the Kansas City Chiefs right now are playing great football, but I don't trust that defense. That defense is ranked 31st in the league. No Super Bowl winning team has won the entire thing and had a defense that's ranked 25th or worse. And then I bring up teams like the Houston Texans. I just can't trust the Houston Texans. They are up and down. I've been waiting for them to really break through for years now. The Pittsburgh Steelers have been a roller coaster and up and down. So I won't believe it until I see it. When I don't see the Patriots in that AFC championship game, then I'll say, all right, I guess you guys were right. But this is still Tom Brady. This is still Bill Belichick. They always figure it out at just the right time. And also, I want to pass this news along to you guys. The Monday Night Football crew of Jason Witten and Joe Tessitore and Booger McFarlane. Many of you have had mixed reviews on those three. They are coming back per a report from Yahoo Sports. They are returning for another year next season. And I guess the finale of Monday Night Football next week will be the Denver Broncos and the Oakland Raiders. Who in the world, other than Brad Walker, who is also filling in and helping out engineer today's Current Sports, who is a diehard Oakland Raiders fan, who in the world wants to watch the Denver Broncos and the Oakland Raiders to finish out the Monday Night Football slate? I'm curious to see what the ratings are for that one. You'll be the only one, Brad. Brad, you'll be sitting there glued to your television with your popcorn, but I'm not watching that. The Broncos and Raiders, that's just bad football. Any thoughts on that, Brad, before we get to our guest? Who wants to watch that?
I do, because it could be the last game at the Oakland Coliseum if they don't get this lawsuit settled.
Yeah, I know. That's a whole other topic.
That's a whole other story right there.
And I'm saving that one for tomorrow's Current Sports. That's a juicy conversation. Speaking of Vegas, right?
Right.
All right, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. Trevor Darnell. You know, I met Trevor as a student here at Michigan State University. He was working as an intern for another station here in the area. Just a great kid, hardworking kid who went on to graduate from Michigan State University and pursues a career now out in Las Vegas. He wanted to get into the sports gambling business, and what a way to do it. Because right now, Trevor is a ticket writer at South Point Hotel and Casino out in Las Vegas. And this is certainly a fitting conversation because, you know, you're going to start to see a lot of states get into the sports gambling business. A lot of money to be made. I think it's long overdue. And I really think this is going to change the way the casual sports fan views a normal game, whether that be college hoops, whether that be basketball, in the pros, football, no matter what sport it is, it is really going to make things interesting on a lot of different levels. So we welcome now Trevor Dardanelle to Current Sports. Trevor, how you doing, my man?
L. Martin, it's great to hear from you, man. It's been a while.
It has been a while. This is your first time here on Current Sports. That's a crime in itself. First off, how are things out in Las Vegas?
They're good. They're good. It's actually starting to get a little bit chilly here. I mean, when the sun goes down, we're getting to like high 30s, low 40s. So it's kind of weird.
Well, it gets that cold there at night?
It does. Yeah, it does. When the sun goes down, you get around midnight, and we're seeing low 40s every day now.
Well, I had no idea, but the highs have to be like in the 80s, right?
I think today it was like just over 60. So yep.
Okay. All right. Well, I tell you what, it's still much better than what we're experiencing here in East Lansing. So I know you're enjoying that. I first want to start with, you know, how the idea really popped in your head, Trevor, that you know, you wanted to kind of pursue a career in the sports betting business, because I guess you are ahead of your time, Trevor, because, you know, now with the Supreme Court ruling that states can pass legislation to get into the sports betting business, I really think this is going to be a game changer on so many levels. Why did you want to pursue this career?
Well, I think you just kind of hit the nail on the head there, Al. It's a business that I happen to know someone from my former employer about, them having people that they needed people to come out here and start working in this business, because it's going to start exploding. And when, I mean, we're already up to about 7 or 8 states, I believe, in the United States that do have legalized sports gambling. And I think we're at a point to where within the next 5 years, you're going to see at least 10 more, 15 more. So we're just going to need more people in this business. So when I got an opportunity that I could do this, and I mean, I've always wanted to be in sports, and even if it isn't within the sports teams in general, I still get to be a part of sports every day when I'm at work. So when I got this opportunity, I really thought it was a good idea. So I picked up and moved across the country, and here I am.
And what really piqued your interest just about the business, Trevor? I mean, what was it, just the opportunity, you know, and you were looking above the horizon that this could really blow up and you can make a lot of money? Or did you have a passion for point spreads and trying to figure that whole thing out? What was it that really became a passion for you?
Well, I think I always loved the whole point spread thing and how it makes the games more interesting. And like you said, when you are part of this business, every single game is interesting. Like, I know you got perfect examples. You guys just talking about how the Oakland game will be a non-factor for you guys on Monday. But for our book, that Monday comes around, the book will be absolutely slammed. We'll have lines out the door. People interested to watch that game just because of the point spreads and the betting factor of it. And I think that's what was one of my main factors, was it makes everything interesting when it comes to every game in general, and that was my main one. And then the money factor was also a thing too, because it can pay well in the long run. And the fact that I can kind of do something that is very unique was also a factor in my decision.
So I want to ask this, Trevor. You know, you mentioned the states that have already passed legislation to allow sports betting within their respective state. And Michigan is also in talks right now. I really think we're right around the corner from starting to, you know, see that become a big deal when you go downtown to Detroit at maybe Motor City or MGM Grand, and you'll be able to place a bet on a game. In what way is this going to affect the betting market out in Las Vegas where you work?
I think with your casual everyday Sunday won't be affected as much in Las Vegas, but your big time events, your Super Bowls, your March Madnesses, and et cetera like that, those will be affected in Nevada, because obviously we get so many tourists and for Super Bowl and for March Madness that when it goes legal in their own state, they won't have to come out here anymore. So I think those big ones will be a big factor for us, but our everyday Sundays, I think it'll pretty much stay steady.
Gotcha. So do you think many, including your bosses and others that work with you, have you guys been rooting for this to become legalized for quite some time?
I think, yeah, for the most part, because you still want the entire country to be a part of this. We really enjoy this whole business. And for most of the books out here, all these books are going to go nationwide anyway. So, I mean, it's going to be, just because they're not coming to Vegas anymore, it's still going to be our companies that are running the books for the most part across the countries also. So it's not like they're going to be taking a huge hit when it comes to the money factor.
Gotcha. All right, again, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are chatting with Trevor Darnell, ticket writer at South Point Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. All right, Trevor, I want to get to some juicy questions now because, you've been out there for a minute now. And I just want to know, like, how many bets do you write up on an average day? And does that increase when you get closer to the weekend?
Absolutely. Friday nights, Saturday nights, even Thursday nights, I mean, I can't even count. It's hundreds of bets you go right on a given day.
Right.
It's nonstop. I actually work the graveyard shift, so I work 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. and it's nonstop. It doesn't stop for the entire 8 hours, pretty much. So hundreds of bets a day, I'll write myself.
Wow, that is amazing. And I'm curious, which sports are the most popular to place a bet?
During the week, it's NBA, a little bit of college basketball is really starting to heat up now.
Right.
The weekend comes and the NFL just dominates. It's not even close, really.
I'm sure. And I have heard stories about how crazy it gets around March Madness for the tournament. Have you worked? Because how long have you been out there right now, Trevor?
I've only been out here since August, so I've actually heard horror stories as a as a ticket writer myself about March Madness.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to being a part of that and seeing how that goes this year.
So come March of 2019, you'll get to experience it firsthand. But I've heard it's just insane. All right, I have to ask this question now. What is the craziest bet you've seen placed at your casino or that you've handled at your casino and one that you've handled directly?
Okay, so for me personally, I want to say it was about a month and a half, 2 months ago, a guy came up to my counter and asked for, it was a Texas A&M game. I don't actually remember who they were playing. They were about a 17-point spread, I think it was. They were the favorite. And he asked for $44,000 to win $40,000. So that was an interesting bet. That was a lot of fun to do that. It kind of nerve-wracking at first because I was still getting used to doing what I'm doing. So to see $44,000, I was like, holy moly. But as a book, I know the biggest that we've taken since I started working is we took a guy right when the baseball playoffs started. A guy came and put $165,000 for the Astros to win the World Series, and obviously that didn't work out for him.
No, not at all. That brother just lost a lot of money. Oh my goodness!
Yeah, a lot of money.
Oh, that is unreal, Trevor. And I think all these bets. I mean, this has to be all cash, right? It's not like you have your debit card, right?
Yes. It's all cash. Yeah. As you come to the book, you're all cash.
That's amazing. So is it just like I can just picture, the immediate visual that I have in my mind is, I think of Floyd Money Mayweather. I mean, this dude walks around with like briefcases with money with the security guards around him. Is it like that? Do people have like security around them or are they just carrying backpacks that are filled with thousands and thousands of dollars when they come to your book?
Yeah, it's more just carrying bags or backpacks with just loads of money on them. Yep.
That is unreal, Trevor. Wow. All right,
it's
man.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
It certainly is. So for you, when looking at your position in this business right now, and long-term for you, career-wise, Trevor, what's your dream? I mean, where do you want to take this career?
I would love to – well, so I'll make it short, but I got hired by William Hill, which is a big company – which is a big sports book out here – but for me to do what they want me to do, they ask that I do a year of ticket writing. You know, starting at the bottom, you have to learn from the bottom. So come May, I'll be working for William Hill in their headquarters here, just down the road from my place, actually. And my goal is to be a supervisor for them one day, very soon, and then in the long run, be some sort of a director for Michigan Sportsbook at William Hill.
Wow. Oh, so you want to return to Michigan, actually.
I do. I do want to return. I got all my family out in Michigan and all my friends and stuff, so I would love to come back and kind of bring this business to Michigan and be a big part of it out there.
You know, with you, Trevor, being a young pup in the game, I'm curious if, you know, because you went to Michigan State here, did a fabulous job, earned your degree from this great university. I'm curious, when you were talking with, you know, your fellow classmates about what you want to do after you graduate, I'm curious as to how prevalent this kind of thought is now that we're starting to see the game change, if you will, when it comes to sports betting here in America. Are you seeing more students, more young people, you know, like a light bulb click and you know, kind of have that same mentality that you had, that they want to get in this business as well?
You know what? That's a great thought. I actually haven't heard of many people. You know, I did have one guy from my hometown that texted me and asked me how he could get into this business, and he's at Toledo. But other than that, no, I really haven't seen much. I think once we start getting even bigger, and maybe even when Michigan decides to open up, people will finally open their eyes and be like, wow, this is something that you can make a career in.
Yeah, it really is fascinating. And Trevor, I feel like you have to have a really grounded mentality if you're going to go in this business, because it has to be so tempting, Trevor. I mean, when you're seeing guys come up to your hotel and casino and place bets left and right, I mean, you're talking about hundreds per day. You have to, working in that business, you have to be very grounded. Trevor, I'm curious, do you place bets yourself out there?
No, I don't. I track my bets with an app on my phone, but I don't ever put money down.
And why is that?
I just don't think it's necessary right now. Maybe in the future I want to have some fun on a weekend or something and go out and throw a little bit of money down just for fun. It's just, I know I see the people that come in to our sports book and they just bet on whatever and anything just so they can put bets down, and it's just not something I'm interested in doing. I like it from my side of the desk and seeing other people do it before I even think about actually putting money down myself.
Trevor, you are one smart brother. There's an old saying, and I'm pretty sure you've heard it, don't get high on your own supply, all right?
Absolutely.
Because if that happens, you know, you start dabbling into other areas, and who knows what that could lead to. So you have the right mentality for that business, Trevor. And I want to ask you this question before we get you out of here, Trevor. For those that are looking at this, and saying to themselves, wow, first off, I never thought that we'd get to this point where we're talking about legalized gambling in multiple states across our nation. For those who are against sports gambling and you know, maybe looking at it from a different point of view, what do you say to those individuals as to why I believe, because I'm with you, Trevor, I think this has been long overdue, but what do you say to those who criticize it?
It's not this whole evil thing that everyone thinks it is. It gets this such a bad rep just because of the word gambling itself. You know, you bring in, you say gambling and people are like, oh my gosh, you know, but that's just not the case. It does so well. It brings in so much business. And I mean, in Nevada itself, it's done so well. And I just, it really can bring a lot of entertainment to anyone at any time. And it can make your weekends a lot more fun.
Yeah, you can say that again. And speaking of that, last question for you, Trevor. Any sexy games that you're looking at when it comes to the bowl season, or maybe, you know, this weekend in the NFL? Maybe some lines that you really, really like?
I really like, bowl season-wise, I love Ohio State. I think they're laying, at our book, they're at 6.5. They're laying 6.5 Washington. Mm-hmm. I think the emotion factor comes into play when it's Urban's last game. I think they're going to really play hard for him. And another one, bowl games. I can't figure out the Notre Dame Clemson spread. It's moving up towards Clemson more. I think it's up to 13 now. They're giving Notre Dame, and I'll take the points with Notre Dame there all day.
Okay, All right. And Trevor, how does a line move crazy like that in Vegas? I mean, how does that happen?
All the money that we get in it. If people start betting it one way pretty heavy, we'll move it pretty heavy and then try to get people to come back the other way. And then a lot of people, it's the smart bettors that we have, the people that we respect heavily in their bets, if they come and put, you know, $7,000 on a team that, and we'll move the line just because we respect their bet, and then try to get people to go the other way.
Yeah, it's quite amazing because, you know, we briefly hit on the Philadelphia Eagles and L.A. Rams game from this past weekend, and when it was announced, well, prior to the game, I think the Rams were like a 7.5-point favorite, but then when it was announced that Carson Wentz would be injured and Nick Foles is going to be the starter in that matchup, like the line moved from 7.5 to almost 14.
I think it closed at 13.5 with us.
Exactly. 13.5 was what I saw as well. Yeah. But it's just amazing how that happens. It's fascinating to me.
It really is. I apologize. I didn't have any NFL picks for it. I haven't even looked at the spread this weekend. So
no, it's fine.
I didn't even see what that is.
No, those two bowl games are just fine. Well, Trevor, we got to get you on, man, more often. I know you also, I see the content that you're posting with also Jason Nick and Graham Couch. You're doing a great job, dude. Keep it up, man, and we'll be in touch, all right?
Sounds good, man. Thanks for having me.
Again, Trevor Darnell, ticket writer at South Point Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. This is becoming a real thing, folks. Whether you like it or not, sports betting and lines and point spreads, this is where we're trending now. And the Supreme Court ruling is a game changer. So, like it or not, sports betting is here, and it is here to stay. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I'll briefly touch on the Detroit Pistons, losers of 7 of the last 8 games. What in the world is going on with the red, white, and royal blue? That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, with about 5 minutes left here in the hour, I want to give a big shout-out to Drew Henderson and as well as Brad Walker, who is pinch-hitting for Drew because Drew had to take out a little bit early. Brad Walker is engineering the show behind the glass. Thank you so much, Brad. And I briefly want to touch here as we close out the show. And again, if you missed today's Current Sports, what are you doing? just simply go to WKAR.org around 3 p.m. and we'll post the podcast version of today's episode. And you can also watch the posted live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. If you missed my chat with Trevor Darnell at South Point Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, as we talked about sports betting, if you missed that conversation, just simply tune in that way. But I just want to touch on the Detroit Pistons losing 7 of the last 8 games. And, you know, it's remarkable to me and a bit mind-boggling because, you know, the Pistons, this is a team, you know, that started off so hot, you know, right in the thick of things. I still am standing by my word that I believe the Pistons will finish as a 4 or a 5 seed in the NBA's Eastern Conference because the NBA's East is so bad. So bad. And when you look at the talent that's on this current Detroit Pistons roster, that is the kind of talent that should put you at either the 4 or the 5 slot. But you can't lose games like this. I mean, it's remarkable to me. It's the thing about the NBA. You just the games are they happen so often. You know, you play an 82-game season, and just some days, man, you lay an egg here and there. Not just some days, a lot of days, I think, in the National Basketball Association. And the Pistons just beat arguably the best team in the NBA's Eastern Conference this past weekend with a 113-104 dub over the Celtics. But you look at the games prior to that, you know, they lose to the Charlotte Hornets. They lost to the Philadelphia 76ers. By the way, big man Joel Embiid, you know, was resting at least one of those two games that they played the Sixers, because prior to that they lose to the Pelicans, and they played the Sixers before the Pelicans and lose 117-111. This is the ebb and flow of the NBA. But I will say this, the Pistons have to get more out of their guards, because, you know, what I've been seeing in this really bad stretch of basketball for the Pistons is not great guard play. You know, Reggie Jackson, you know, Reggie not shooting the ball well, 11 points. He was minus 11 when he was on the floor. I think the Pistons are really missing a true point guard. That's the big thing right now. And, you know, it really hurts when you don't have a point guard who can come off the bench for Reggie Jackson and come in and man the offense right now. You know, Ish Smith is still battling an injury. He was the guy who could come in and at least hold things down and really facilitate the ball. That's not happening with Reggie Jackson. He is a high-volume shooter. Stan Van Gundy tried to make him a pure point guard when he was here, at least that first season. That's just not who he is. That's not in his DNA, which is why you're starting to see on the rumor mill right now, no matter how you may feel about this young man, Markelle Fultz of the Philadelphia 76ers. The rumor mill has the Pistons, as well as the Orlando Magic, pegging Markelle as the next point guard for the team, which I don't think is a terribly bad move, just because you don't need Markelle to shoot. You just need Markelle to just diss out the basketball, which I think he can do. But this is a bad stretch of basketball for the Pistons right now. We all know that. It starts with the guards. All right, as we come up on the close of the show, I want to give a thanks to all of you who tuned in to this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Again, much love to my guest for today's show, Trevor Darnell, ticket writer at South Point Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. Drew Henderson and Brad Walker behind the glass. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. We will welcome Rico Cooney of SpartanMag.com. We'll talk some Michigan State men's and women's basketball with Rico, and we'll also get his thoughts on the Michigan State Red Box Bowl against Oregon on New Year's Eve. That and more. We'll see you on Wednesday, folks. Be easy, people.